If I were to write that article, it would be called Black Eyed Peas. But like P-E-E-S.
Yellow, how are you?
Good, brother. How are you?
Doing all right.
Yeah. Another podcast, another day.
Episode five. Excuse me, but I'm eating, remember those oatmeal cream pies?
Oh, yeah. Those things are delicious.
Dude, I found one the size of my head.
You have kind of a small head, so.
Well, I mean, today is my birthday.
Holy shit, man. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Dude, I am so terrible with birthdays. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
God, damn it.
So I'm eating this giant fucking oatmeal cream pie.
No, hold on. You can't just pass over what a shitty friend I am. I seriously forgot that it was your birthday today. I am so sorry, dude. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I mean, forgetting it is honestly the best gift.
Dude, I feel so terrible right now.
Well, that was my plan. Get you on tape first.
Yeah. I'm going to make him look like a real asshole today.
We've done about 30 minutes of pre-show work and I didn't mention it.
The joke's on you. I just ordered you something on Amazon.
Amazon Prime now, bitches.
Oh, that's funny.
You're going to have somebody sneak in, drop off a box.
Exactly.
As long as I don't get fingered.
Oh, I make no promises.
Jesus, that would be awful. Happy birthday.
Oh, that's hilarious.
The birthday finger. Oh. Jesus. Is there anything sadder?
Do you have to take one for every year?
Oh, that's awful.
There's just four dudes in a line and one of them's only gonna get to use he's not gonna get to use all of his fingers. I only got seven. See you in 3 years, bitch. Stupid
the birthday
joke.
Finger
the birthday fingers.
It's way better than the candles that whoever came up with. Yeah. Oh, here, blow these out. Now stick this up your ass.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm now at the age where I'm playing this numbers game where I'm halfway to, and then it's just a giant fucking number.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is about the time for a midlife crisis, right?
No, fuck yeah. About the time. Tick-tock. Kaboom. Jesus. The buddy of mine texted me because he has a we're the exact same age, and he has a birthday 3 days before. And I texted him, you know, like 11 o'clock at night because I fucking forgot. But I said, happy birthday. And he sent me a picture of a motorcycle.
Nice.
I said, wait, what the fuck is going on? And he said, am I crazy for forgetting this? And he's buying a motorcycle. And I said, nice. Dude, midlife crisis in full bloom? He said, yeah.
Fuck yeah. That's a great way to go through it, though.
Dude, it was a badass bike. It was like a $4,000 bike. I mean, I know they get nicer.
Dude, you disappeared.
God damn it.
And you're gone.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Trenton has left the call.
And
I don't know what he's doing over there.
I'm so sorry, dude.
And we're back.
And we're back. Actually, I don't think we ever intro'd the show. I think we got on a good roll, and I messed everything up.
We didn't. Do you want to do the intro? My mouth is still full of cream pie.
I'm sorry about that, man. That was so stupid. We'll tell you what happened, but first, welcome to the Too Dumb for This podcast. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. We added TuneIn. Hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Too Dumb for This, and our official website is TooDumbForThis.com. Welcome to the show. Oof. So, I exit out of everything and kind of stopped the show.
Rough waters.
Yes, sorry about that. So what happened was the cursor from the mouse was right over the X, and I went, oh, shit, I'm going to accidentally X out of that if I don't move that. And then when I reached to move it, I clicked on the X and exited out of everything. And so I sent Jesse a panic text message. And we're back up and running. So I really apologize for that. Happy birthday, man. Sorry I'm a shitty friend. And yeah.
Dude, we're spending the night together.
This well, is how I always, you know, pictured it.
For the listeners, we are three states away, but
yeah,
it is midnight.
That is true.
So the text Trenton sent was, dude, I fucking X'd out of the room. I'm so pissed.
I was really pissed. Really pissed.
Well, I thought it was, you know, some kind of technical error.
Yeah, I'm technically a fucking moron. Anyway... So it's your birthday. Did you guys get to go do anything fun? Did Linz and the girls take you out to do something fun?
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's like a trend, you know, that everybody goes through where they hate talking about their birthdays and they just don't want anything to do with it. And, I'm now at that age where I don't want to do much. Like, I don't want to not talk about it, but I don't want to celebrate it either, you know?
Right.
The idea of a grown man getting presents to unwrap is kind of silly. It's like, ooh. Ooh, give me. It's fucking weird. It like is weird, a grown, you know, a grown man getting a package of socks or new cologne or a tie. Nobody knows what to get anybody these days because Everybody has everything.
Dude, it's so true.
Dude, I have every condition of happiness is fucking met. And I'm talking about, like, it's not because I can go buy whatever the fuck I want. I can't. That's not the point. I have family. I have love. I have clothing. I have food. I have shelter. I'm good. I don't need one more thing to like, keep track of or to lose in the washer.
Yeah, man. You know? It's all just shit. It's all just stuff that takes up your house. I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you, man.
The things you own end up owning you.
That's true. Unless you can pay cash for them, and then it's totally awesome to have stuff.
Hey, the people who say money can't buy happiness just don't know where to shop.
That's right. Oh, that's funny.
No, and it's good, man. And I know people love to... you know, show their appreciation with gifts and with stuff. So like, it's none of that. I mean, But I watched, I watched a little bit of TV with my daughter, on the couch, and we just like, I had my arm around her the whole time. That was fucking cool.
Right.
I got to just spend time with the family in the morning. And then in the afternoon, Lindsay's dad, came to visit for a bit, hung out with him. Then we went out for dinner, and that was it. You know, pretty uneventful.
That's awesome.
But like in a good way. Yeah, really good day.
Yeah. I hear you, man. And I knew that. I knew that you didn't want to be bothered on your birthday. So that's that's exactly why I didn't send a card or a text message or even know that today was your birthday. Because we've only been friends for like 30 years, and I don't think I always tell you happy birthday like a week and a half afterwards when somebody says, "Hey man, did you see it was Jesse's birthday?" And I'm like, "Oh fuck. I'm so terrible.
Did you read about it in the paper?"
Oh, God, dude. And I don't do the Facebook thing. So, like, I don't ever get that update, you know, that most people get to let them know that it's somebody's birthday or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, man. Dude, that's how I know somebody isn't really my friend. Is if they just wait for the Facebook update and they're like, "Oh, yeah. That fucker's birthday. Happy birthday."
Right.
Jesus. Yeah, dude. Just leave me alone.
I'm terrible, man.
That is the best gift. And dude, I know that people just want to say happy birthday. But I had texts and phone calls from people that I don't talk to. Yeah. I haven't even seen or spoken to in years. And I'm not, I mean, I had like four. Like, I'm not saying it was a lot. I mean, I'm not being braggadocious here. But the people that know me know that, yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
He's good. We're good. I don't need to take up time with, "Oh, happy birthday. Have a good one."
Yeah.
But it is nice once in a while, you know?
Yeah, man. I know. I feel really bad. man, yeah. Anyway, sucks getting old, doesn't it?
Oh, Jesus, dude. It's a weird trip.
Yeah,
it's a weird, weird trip. I mean, we're on the back half of this thing, dude.
Oh yeah, yeah. Backside of 30. We're on the backside of 30.
But no, that's where I just turned to 37 and I'm now playing that game that it's halfway to 74.
Right.
That's a dark sentence to say.
Yep. And the only time it was ever cool was when I could be like, "I'm halfway to 69.
What birthday would that be?
34 and a half. When I turned 34 and a half, I was like, "Yeah, you didn't tell me happy birthday then, did you? You didn't get me nothing for my halfway to 69 birthday."
Yeah, no, that should be a thing.
Yeah. It is now.
not the presents from one grown man to another. "Oh, hey, happy 37th birthday. Jesus, I got you something. Right. You can unwrap it when you're home." Mm-hmm. Just unwrap it when you're home. I mean, you'll be pleasantly surprised. God, that's awkward. Just weird. Presents are weird.
Super weird.
But, yeah, dude, getting old is fucking bizarre. I don't have anything to say about that. Just bizarre.
Well, man, parts start to sag. Hair starts growing in weird spots.
Well, that's like when you're a teenager.
It is. It kind of is. Like, my balls have dropped so far, dude. It's not even funny. It's like Laffy Taffy that's been left out in the sun too long. On a hot day, it's just real stretchy. Sometimes when I poop, my balls touch the water, dude. I'm not even joking. I swear to you, my balls will touch the water. And I don't know if it's my poop is rising the level or if my balls just sag that much.
I bet it's a combination of the two.
It probably is.
Yeah.
What are you drinking?
Water.
It's a good birthday water. They do water in a can.
Yeah, dude.
That's kind of cool.
The sparkling kind.
Nice. So like strawberry?
Watermelon.
Watermelon.
Yeah, it's the summer.
Yeah.
It's hot. Hot outside.
Super hot.
Got to sit outside and sip on a watermelon. You know?
Yep.
Well, back in my day, we didn't have any watermelon water, you see. We had to drink river water. Dude, okay, so the balls thing, I have the opposite problem. I have a ball that, like, goes up inside of me.
No. It's
yes, it's terrifying.
You have an inverted testicle?
No, they both hang. But once in a while,
one will just sneak up there.
The left just goes. I have to run and jump for it to fall out.
Blow real hard on your thumb. It just shoots it out of there like a ping pong ball in a balloon.
But no, that's for real. I do have that opposite problem. That's a weird fucking feeling. It's weird. Because I'm like, what if it doesn't come back out?
Dude. That could be a problem, right?
I know. I'd have to go to the doctor. He'd have to put on a glove and do some fingering down there.
Oh. It's his second mentioning of fingering today. I think you have a problem.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
That's hilarious.
Has somebody fingered you? Why all these subtle hints?
Did you God have a rough it. Day today? Did something happen?
Did they use a glove? Did they not?
Man, one time I went in for a physical, like for football way back in the day, and the doctor gave me a physical and never put on a glove. He absolutely, yeah. It freaked me out, man.
And we're talking about this now. It's probably healthy.
It probably is.
Have you ever talked about this before?
I did one time, and but I haven't ever told people how it ended. We went on a couple dates. He was a really nice guy. Soft hands. Real soft hands. Oh, Dr. Touchy.
That was weird, man.
Yeah.
I remember getting a physical in high school, you know.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing, and I never had anybody look at my wiener.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable, man.
You know?
Yeah.
Fucking weird. And then I remember stories of
and then when he's lifting up the hang with his gloveless hand, you know, he just really tucks it under there. And just tells me to cough. Ugh.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Then he tickled my ridge.
What the fuck is that? What's the ridge? Is that a medical term?
Here, nobody else will be able to see this, but he just took his fingers. Okay, let's pretend like that's the tip of my wang. And he went like that.
Dude, you got molested.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Jesus. Now, he didn't have a glove on?
No gloves, dude.
Oh, man. You should
just rubbed it around there. Just gave it a quick little tickle. Right around. Well, yep.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. Just seeing if it would move, I guess. It moved.
Shot right up.
Okay, that part's made up, but it's pretty funny.
the ridge is made up.
He didn't tickle the ridge, but he didn't use gloves when he gave me the physical.
Oof. Now that could have been an old timey doctor thing, you see.
He can really get in there.
Dude, that is the weirdest thing, though. Putting like a young child, like myself and yourself, in a room with an adult. I mean, it happens all the time. Medical professionals have to see and do things like that. But
yeah.
That was weird. I mean, I never thought about that. I guess again, I mean, I guess which is healthy. It means it didn't affect me.
Yeah.
But I remember at the time feeling very uncomfortable.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm like, oh, well, this is what I got to do to play ping pong.
Yep.
Competitive ping pong.
Yep.
Hacky sack, man. We played a lot of hacky sack.
You were really good. Really good.
I had those wide feet.
Oh, hacky sack.
But yeah, dude, I'm sure that we will be, you know, getting older, a lot more weird doctor things happening.
Oh, yeah, dude. Kind of looking forward to my prostate exam. I just want to get it out of the way, you know, the uncomfortableness of it.
Have you been practicing?
Yeah, yeah, I have. I'm going to give him some pointers on what. A little deeper.
To the left.
A little deeper. I kiss my neck. Kiss my neck.
He finishes and there's just a turd hanging from his elbow.
He gets in there with one of those horse gloves. Like, have you ever seen him?
Those horse condoms.
That's hilarious.
I will tell you something that does come better with age is I think you're officially old when you have given up on the dreams.
That's when you know you've made it to oldhood.
But accepted it. You know, I remember I was 16 and I was working at the country club in Salina. And I was a busboy.
A great one.
Fucking great one.
Yeah.
I had a dream one night that I was 80 years old, and in my dream, I was running around telling everybody, I'm going to get the band back together. I'm going to get the band back together. And there's like a double-sided coin thing happening, going on right there, right? There's the, oh, hey, that's kind of charming. He'll never give up. And then there's the, oh, yeah, that's kind of sad. He never gave up. So for me, I've been a practicing musician for a long time, and I recently started hiding my guitars. It's just every time I see and listening to music, every time I hear music or see a guitar or I don't know, see a paintbrush, anything that I tried and just failed at. It's just a reminder of my failures.
Every time we do a podcast together, you're just like, what have I done to myself?
I'm sad. Every time I see a street busker, I take money out.
But here's the thing, man. You work in the music business. So are you saying that like every day is a complete and utter disappointment?
It's sad.
It's sad. Oh, dude, that's hilarious. So you really hide your guitars?
I did for about 8 years.
Really?
Well, no, and they're all hidden. They are all hidden in a garage, hidden under a bed. But I very recently, and I mean within the last year, I recently moved one into the living room so my daughters can see music and see a guitar and see me. I'm playing it now, but I'm doing it for a completely different reason.
Right.
And there's like a little seed of hope. Right. In there now, you know, yep. Where before it was, the fuck is that thing? That's something I spent a lot of time, energy, and money doing,
yeah.
And just failed and failed and failed, but not in the good kind of motivational speaker you gotta fail kind of way. Because that's what they say. They're like, oh, how many times have you tried and failed and learned and tried and failed and learned? Well, I tried and failed and just failed.
Oh, you didn't fail, though, man. I loved that shit. I loved it, loved it, loved it. You just took it in it. Man, I don't know. I feel your pain. I've done the exact same thing. You helped me do a lot of stuff, you know? And, we were in our first band together. I was in my first band with you. It was the shit. It was a lot of fun. And it was the best times of my life, man. I loved it.
Yeah, dude, me too. But that's why I think it's a sign of wisdom, right? Or getting older in the right way, that I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I'm going to have that dream ever again.
Yeah.
Where I'm 80 years old getting the band back together.
Right.
I moved on. I have other shit to worry about.
Right, right.
You know, that was
But do you ever like think, man, I would love it if my girls were in a band and did all the fun shit that we used to do? And that's like my dream now, dude. It honestly is. Not that my kids will do what I did, you know, as far as music goes or whatever, but just that they experience that being in a band and how much fun that is. And
start calling you Joe Jackson.
Right. The beating starting now. But I work all week long or whatever, so I'm usually out of the house before Stevie wakes up in the morning. But like on Saturdays or whatever, I get up with her, I make her breakfast, and we listen to music together.
Nice.
And then, you know, all day long, it seems like we're doing something musical. Not that I'm forcing it on her. It's just she really likes music. She watches Moana every day. You know what I mean? And sing. Moana and sing. That's all she ever does. So, and there, it's really good music in there. So she's got
from the top, Stevie. From the top, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. You call that a high C?
Right.
God damn it!
Oh man, yeah.
Sing, Stevie, sing.
Like, you know, we'll play the piano together and I'll get out my guitar and play it. And she's got a little set of drums that she beats on. Yeah, man. I'm just, that's my other thing. I just want to be in a family band. I want to be like the new Partridge Family or whatever. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to live vicariously through my, way more talented children.
Yes. Absolutely.
No, but man, my energy is in different places. The naive 36-year-old has given birth to a more experienced 37-year-old.
Yeah.
And it was a bloody birth.
Really opened me up.
I came out of the butt. I was a butt baby.
Oh, that's really funny shit.
Yeah, you know how some parents just, you know, push their kids into sports because they were failed athletes.
Yeah.
That's I guess that's me with art.
So I'm kind of the opposite of you as far as this goes, because, you know, I have a whole room set up where it's all my guitars are hanging on the wall. It's got music stuff everywhere. I've got a banjo right here in the background. You can see it. I got a piano right over there. I've got, And here's the part about it. Now that I'm not playing in front of people and trying to do this for a living and I work all the time, I can actually afford the guitars that I've always wanted. So I've actually got a couple really nice. I got a Gibson Les Paul, man, and nobody will ever see it. It's just sitting in my room and I come downstairs and play it every once in a while. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Except for that crazy fucker who's listening right now and knows you have a Gibson Les Paul in your house.
Right. I also have a lot of guns. Fucker, don't try it.
Yeah, but man, that's why we're different. I mean, you're nice and people like you. I'm just a curmudgeous asshole.
Right.
Never sees the good in anything.
Dude, what was that Fender that you had, that hollow body Fender?
Oh God! What was that?
Is it a Coronado? Was that it?
Coronado 2.
Coronado 2.
I think so.
Dude, that's a badass guitar.
It looks great and it played okay. Sounds great.
Yeah.
But staying in tune was just not.
Yeah, it was a problem.
It was a big problem. I took that to a session one time, and we had to. We had to record a verse and then stop, retune, record a chorus, stop, retune. It was that bad.
Oof.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but it looks cool, man.
It does. It's a really cool guitar. I love that thing. Yeah. But what's funny is one of my favorite guitars I have is it's an $84 Alvarez. I bought at a pawn shop. I mean, it's like a 1980, 86 Alvarez acoustic guitar. And I seriously paid $84 for it at a pawn shop.
Nice.
I love that thing. I love it. But anyway.
I had, I think my first was a Strat copy.
Yeah.
I still have it.
It was a white Squire, wasn't it? Or Harmony, wasn't it?
Harmony Strat Harmony. Copy. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. That thing was awesome.
It was great.
Yeah. I still have my very first guitar. It's a Hohner acoustic. I'm looking at it right now. However you say it, Hohner, whatever, Hohner. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
We'll have to tell the story about your tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Someday. Yeah, we need to send out a picture. I may or may not have been wasted and did something really stupid.
Little bit of a tease for you out there.
A little bit of a tease.
And we have Canada and Australia coming online now.
Yeah.
I guess you mentioned Australia last time, but dude, the download numbers looking good.
They are looking good. And there's a couple Canadians now, not just the one weirdo. Now there's two.
Dude, I got so excited because I checked Twitter and somebody from Canada tweeted us.
I saw that.
Yes. And then I went to check his Twitter feed and he was tweeting the same thing to like 10,000 accounts.
Everybody. And it's hilarious. I was really hoping that was our guy or girl because it's hilarious. What is it that he's don't soak him or something like that?
Don't soak him.
Don't soak him. I love that guy. And have you seen the responses he's getting? It just says, don't soak them. And people are replying, what does that mean? And it says it right in his bio. It's the greatest.
don't get a soaker.
Don't get a soaker. That's what it is.
I thought it was like a cum shot or something. Like, don't get a soaker.
But the thing is, I relate to it. I work outside all the time. So when he said, don't get a soaker, I was like, that's good advice, bro. There's nothing worse than working with wet shoes all day. It sucks.
Oh, he tweeted you.
Yeah, he did.
11 hours ago.
Yeah.
And he tweeted the show at Too Dumb for This on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
He gave us good advice on don't get a soaker.
Don't get a soaker. He gets more likes than we do.
Yeah. Dude, we need a shirt that says don't get a soaker.
Maybe he listens. He follows us.
Nice.
His name is Jason at Don't Get a Soaker on Twitter.
Dude, that guy rules. Hi, Jason. Don't get a soaker.
What is a soaker?
Dude, it's when you step in a puddle of water and it soaks your shoe. And then you got wet socks and wet shoes.
And he made a Twitter account for that?
Well, read his bio.
Canada. Soaker, stepping in a puddle and filling your shoe with water. Jesus.
Dude, it's the greatest advice ever. Because anybody who's done it realizes how miserable it is.
So here's a girl. Liv underscore RRRR. Apparently Liv underscore RRR was taken. She replies, what do you mean? And he replies... And Jason replies, soaker, stepping in a puddle and filling your shoe with water. And we... We like that one. We like that one.
Yep.
Jesus. Jason. Goes on and on. That's all he's doing.
Dude, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant strategy. I love what Jason's doing. It made me laugh really hard because I saw that he tweeted the show. And then like a day later, I get a message that says, don't get a soaker. I love it, dude.
Somebody asks, why would I?
The replies were killing me. What is a soaker?
I honestly thought, I thought that was our Canadian listener, and I thought he heard the show, and I thought it was like a
cum reference shot or reference. Something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was hoping too. And then I saw that he was doing it to everybody and their mother. And I was like, okay, this is genius. So I started reading comments. It's brilliant, dude. So Jason, I hope you listen to the show and just know I've definitely had a soaker before and I get what you're trying to do and I like it.
I'm tweeting him right now and I'm going to say, hey dude, tune in to Monday's show.
Yeah, we're definitely talking about you. Oh, that is so funny. So funny.
I don't get it, but it sounds funny.
You've never had a soaker. How have you made it this far in life and never had a soaker?
No, when I lived in New York, I got soakers. I just didn't know that was the technical term.
I don't think it is. I think it's the Canadian term. And that makes it even funnier. I can just hear, don't get a soaker. I love it, dude.
Well, maybe he can be, Jason, if you're listening, share the link with your friends and start a movement up there.
Yes.
You know, turn some people on to us, man. We need to start spreading the word. We need a street team. We need listeners, but we need jokes.
And I think I'm going to help you here in America. I'm going to tell all my friends that not to get a soaker. And I think that they'll appreciate that.
Jason, and we gave you a fucking plug. We told people to go follow you.
Right.
Right? So start spreading the word.
Yes.
Tell all your soaker friends up there.
Yeah.
You get together with your soaker conventions.
Canadian. You know,
you trade your wet socks. Just all cranky about having wet feet.
Oh, dude, it's terrible.
The end of the day, you take your shoe off and it's just this like wrinkly grape thing.
You're really prone to fungal infections if you don't dry your soakers.
You're checking your Facebook don't get a soaker group. Fucking trading pics back and forth of who got the worst soaker.
Oh.
So yeah, Jason, spread the word up there. Reach out to those Facebook groups and all of your soaker buddies and tell them to tune in to the Too Dumb for This podcast. Because you fucking owe us.
Yeah, you really do. I think it's hilarious. Really.
No, dude, I'm telling him right fucking now. Jason, I'm tweeting at him, tune into Monday's show because we're talking about you. We're plugging your account, so you better fucking do the same.
Oh, shit.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's just doing a public service announcement. Don't get a soaker. It's awesome. Oh, man. That's so funny. I don't know why it's funny either. It's just like one little thing. And it just made me laugh so hard when I saw that.
I thought it was a sex reference, but...
Oh, man. Well, at first, yes, of course, that's what you think of, but that's where our mind goes anywhere. someone could be like, have you ever seen an ostrich dunk? And I'm like, that's got to be something sexual, right?
Is that kind of like the wobbly H?
Yeah. Oh, God. You ever played cornhole? Hey, watch it, bud.
put on a glove first.
That's funny.
That's insane. Yeah. Well, I guess we can kind of get on. You know, we've talked about being fingered. We've talked about getting soaked. We can kind of keep the show moving here. There was a dude here in Austin who got sucker punched in a Chili's parking lot and unfortunately died.
Holy shit. Dude, that is a thing that's happening now. There's videos all over the internet of like the knockout game or whatever it is where people are just sucker punching people.
Watch yourself.
So some dude died?
Some dude died.
Oh my God, man.
A man died Sunday from a deadly sucker punch thrown in an apparent fit of jealousy in the parking lot of a North Austin's Chili's restaurant. Austin police have accused 43-year-old Jeffrey Robinson of manslaughter in connection with the death of Greg Hines. A woman told police that she and Robinson had been walking just before 11 p.m. Pretty late. On June 29th from the 7-Eleven at Burnett Road and Research blah, blah, blah. Woman told police that she and Robinson had previously lived together and once had a physical relationship.
So it wasn't like the knockout game.
Right. It wasn't completely random.
It was a lover's quarrel.
Yep.
Oh.
She said she also knew Hines, but that they did not have a romantic history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As the woman and Robinson approached the Chili's, she recognized Hines as he sat on a grassy median in the parking lot and said, "Oh, there's Greg." The woman told police Robinson asked, "You want him too?" Before he walked up to Hines and struck him on the left side of his head above the eye. Ugh.
Oh, dude.
Before he died, Hines told police he didn't know why he was attacked. "I was just sitting there, and the dude came up and clobbered me," he said. Jeez.
Oh, my God. So it's not like he was unconscious. Yeah. He just got beat up, and then his brain bled out later, right?
Yeah, 2 days later. He just got punched. Just punched once.
Just one time? Yeah. He didn't even, like, get an ass kicking? He just got punched?
Nope.
Oh, dude, that is awful.
Awful.
I mean, don't punch people, like, first of all, but... Oh, dude, that is, like, my biggest fear. I don't like fights. I don't like violence. I think it's terrifying, okay? But that was always my biggest fear when I was growing up, is that I would get in a fight with somebody, and I would... Because I'm a big guy, you know?
Yeah.
I was always afraid that if I really did get in a fight with somebody, and like I was actually like in a rage or something, that I could accidentally kill somebody.
That's why I stayed a virgin for as long as I did.
Dude.
I didn't want my big wang to, you know, next thing you know.
Clobber somebody.
Next thing you know.
Oh.
I have some explaining to do.
Right? There's dick prints in the concrete.
It's like me and my giant dick at the scene of a crime. Bloody sheets? What am I supposed to do with that?
Oh.
Oof. No, and my biggest fear is, well, one, being a victim of a random act of violence, of course. But there was another story of another guy here in Austin who got into an altercation, a fight with another gentleman at a bar. It went outside, and it wasn't physical at that point. They were just kind of shit talking each other. They went outside, and I think one dude punched another guy, or just kind of punched him, but just enough so the other guy fell backwards, hit his head on the concrete, and died.
Oh,
that's it.
Oh, yeah, man. That's my biggest fear. I'm not afraid somebody's gonna sucker punch me and kill me. Like, I'm not afraid of getting shot or stabbed or anything like that. I'm afraid that I'm accidentally going to do that to somebody else and be locked up, you know, for some shit that I did not mean to do or didn't, you know. Ugh, I don't know. It just bothers me, dude. The thought of accidentally hurting somebody like that. I mean, because, dude, people fight every single day. I mean, it happens all the time. When we were growing up, we had people that we knew that fought all the time. And all it takes is that one time where you throw an unlucky punch and it catches them just right, and they fall down and bust their head on something or whatever. Their brain bleeds out, dude. It's just, ugh, so scary.
Yep.
That's why everybody should be friends, man.
I just punch people in the asshole.
You can bleed out that way too. You can break through a wall and get lost in there like the Thailand kids, like the soccer team in the cave or whatever. That's messed up.
I'm like, hold still, bend over. And then never happens.
Man, have you heard about the little kids that are trapped in the cave?
Your boy Elon Musk is pulling a Hail Mary.
Yeah, I hope he gets it done, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so what's going on there? I've been reading headlines.
You know, I don't know the full story, but it's a little kid's soccer team. They were exploring these caves, and then either the tide came in or something and kind of blocked the whole thing off with... What are you doing? Kind of blocked the whole thing off with water so they couldn't escape.
So I'm getting closer so I can hear you.
They've been trapped. They're trapped in there.
That's not fucking good. And a monsoon is coming, right?
Yes. They could be... I heard... The latest I heard was that they could be in there for up to another month. Because
how is that?
Because it took professional scuba divers like 3 hours, 3.5 hours to get to them. And some of these kids can't even swim. And there's just no way for them to get out of this cave without being a scuba diver. So their plan is that they were going to teach them all how to scuba dive and get out of there. But because the tide's moving in, or the monsoon's coming or whatever, it might be a month before those kids can get out of there. So they're just going to have to keep taking them supplies unless Elon Musk comes in there and fucks shit up, you know, which is what I'm hoping.
Are they running out of air? Is that a problem, a concern?
I don't know that that's a problem. I mean, I'm sure it's not good, but I don't think that that's a problem.
But they're all safe.
They are. They've been in there for, what, 2 weeks now? I mean, I think when they found them, they had already been in there for 9 days.
I can't stay in my bedroom longer than, you know, 8 hours.
Right.
Dude, how are they living in a cave?
It's little kids. It's like 11-year-old kids, man. It's crazy.
Wow. I have heard that the coach is a previous monk, Buddhist monk.
Oh, really?
And they think that training may be helping them kind of get through this difficult time. as he, you know, kind of stays calm, focuses on his in-breath and out-breath. Maybe he's helping the other kids learn that process. But that's, I'm shocked that they're alive. I mean, it sounds, I guess it might sound worse than it is, but I don't know. It sounds fucking bad.
Ooh. That's insane, man. But you know what they say. You know what they say. It's better to be trapped in a cave with a Buddhist monk than a Catholic priest.
That's what they say.
I've heard them say that. I don't know. That was definitely not me that said that.
Yeah, I think you also had a cave exploration joke that went along with that.
That's terrible. I hope they figure it out, man, and I hope Elon Musk can take care of it.
I just read that he is he's in his what is it? Tesla team or the some kind of team?
Is it the Boring Company?
That I think they're sending some people. But somebody's building a little mini scuba or a little mini water ship or something.
A little mini water ship?
Submarine. A submarine. We're too dumb for this. Water ship.
Hey, wasn't that a Beatles song? Yellow mini water ship.
Yellow. We all live
in a yellow mini water ship. A yellow mini water ship.
You know, to be fair, that was John's original lyric.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, well, I guess I didn't realize those kids were kind of safe. And then they were getting help. I mean, you hear those stories of people being trapped somewhere. You just kind of assume that, okay,
yeah,
there it is. And you know, they might not get out.
I really hope that they do, man. I hope they get it figured out. It's so crazy, dude. Like, I saw the headline a while ago, and I was like, what? How can all it said was soccer team trapped in cave. And I thought, oh, what a bait clicky story that is, you know? And then a couple days later, I was like, oh shit, no, it's kids. It's a soccer team full of kids that are actually trapped in a cave, you know? But yeah, you know, headlines these days, I mean, how they try to get you in there to look at it.
Free boobs, click here.
Exactly.
Want to squeeze a tit? Yeah, while I'm here,
the South African red-breasted booby is a bird. And you're like, no, you assholes. I came here for the tits. They tricked me.
How much sex is too much sex? No, while as we're doing the show, I've received two push notifications for the Thai rescue. So it's a big deal.
It is. It is, man. So I took the older two girls to the Salina Comic Con today. Have you ever been to a Comic Con?
Never. What was that like?
Dude, it was really cool. A lot of nerds, but I like that. It was cool, man. They had a lot of Star Wars stuff. I like Star Wars stuff. And then I saw the coolest thing ever. It was a UHF movie poster signed by Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you buy it?
No. I wanted to.
Was it for sale?
But I figured I would get in big trouble from my wife.
How much was it?
I don't know. I didn't even ask. I was afraid because if it was within my price range, I would have picked it up and had a autographed UHF poster.
Hey, honey. So you know this podcast thing I'm now doing, and it's taking several hours of my week, and I'm staying up late, and I'm uploading a lot of very big media files. Well, I have better news. I bought a UHF poster.
Oh, she would have been pissed. She would have been pissed.
So were the, I guess your girls, but also did everybody dress up?
Not this time. No, not this time. I mean, they had like, Nat had her, had a
cat ears or something,
a Star Wars shirt and Star Wars pants. But that was it, man. I just wore my regular clothes and Kendall wore her regular clothes.
Like a Yoda foot.
Yeah.
Yoda slippers.
Exactly.
Well, cosplay, right? Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big thing on the interwebs.
It is, man. It's a big deal. But
those girls getting all dressed up as fantasy creatures.
My options are limited when it comes to who I can dress up like.
So were there a lot of people dressed up?
There were quite a few people. Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of neat, man, but I don't know. I'm sure like the big ones, you know, like the San Diego Comic-Con or whatever, I'm sure there's some pretty awesome stuff there. But Salina, I mean, there was like people wearing tinfoil, you know.
Jesus.
Like dollar store uniforms, you know what I mean? But it was cool. There were some really good costumes, but it's just not nearly as big as some of those other ones.
Yeah. Just wrapped up in paper towels.
Yeah. I'm a mummy. Whoa. Yeah, I don't do the dress-up thing anyway.
I bet it's addictive once you start.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, man. There's like old-school toys, like from your childhood. I just go and look at them and be like, oh, man, I used to have that. But I don't buy stuff very often.
Yeah.
I wanted that UHF poster, though. I wanted it.
Was it in mint condition?
No. No, it was not. It wasn't in a frame or anything. The guy had it, like, folded beside his...
Maybe it was cheaper than you thought.
He was like... I was like, holy shit, is that really signed by Weird Al? And he's like, yeah. He puts a W on there. And I was like, that's not a W. It says Al. But it was written in cursive, so it was like... curved or whatever, and he thought it was a W. I was like, dude, no.
You could have negotiated a good price.
I probably could have. Yeah. Probably like a Dr. Pepper or something. Hey, I'll trade you this Dr. Pepper. But, yeah. I should try to go back tomorrow and get it.
Wait, it's all weekend?
Oh, yeah. We don't go all weekend. We just go the one day.
So this was the first time?
No, we went last year. I took them last year.
Nice. Well, and you didn't dress up.
No, man. What am I going to dress up as? Like the world's fattest Harley Quinn?
It took us an hour to get there,
dude.
We got there, and that's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got like two options: Jabba the Hutt and fucking Jabba the Hutt's sister.
Which is just Jabba the Hutt, right, in a dress
and with a wig.
Oh. That's funny. I've never been to anything like that officially, but during South by, I stumbled into the cosplay convention of South By. It was happening at the convention center, and I was looking for something. And next thing you know, I see people dressed like they're from another planet. Because that's what they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool. It was cool. There was a band there that played... Oh, man. So I walked through the convention center, and they had all the different kiosks and booths and shit. And the girls, man, they dress... like, they have a lot to show off.
Yeah.
You know, they're showing off some of the boobs and some of the butts. Which I guess is pretty exciting if you're into banging aliens.
For those nerdy kids, are you kidding me? That's like Spank Bang material. they're locking it down in their head.
They're that's like that time.
Did you see that slutty Ghostbuster?
I'd wrap her in my ectoplasm.
Dude, I actually heard a kid haggle today for 50 cents. Like, he wanted 50 cents off, and he haggled with this lady, and he talked with a lisp, and I was dying laughing, dude. It was so funny.
I've done that before.
No, I have too, but it was just how he was doing it. I mean, dude, ask for like a, you know, it was like, I don't remember what the price was, but it was like $10.50, and he's like, how about I just give you a 10? And she goes, this is how we make our living. My family eats because I sell things. If you're cheap ass, dude, that's what she told him. And he was just like, so can you do it for 10? And she's like, yeah, fine, I'll do it for 10. And then
she caved.
She did. He hands her a 20 and gets change back.
What an asshole.
And then he's like, so if I give you $3 more, can I dig through your comic book? And she was like, I don't care. It was hilarious, dude.
What an asshole.
I'm not even exaggerating. Like, his voice was, it was pretty similar to that, dude. It was amazing. I've never been so happy in my life. It was a good people watching day. It really was, man.
Dude, he didn't give a fuck. He just went for it.
Dude, he did not care and never once thought that he was being a dick. He was just like, I'll give you $10.
Because most people would, you know, negotiate down and then just hand over a $10 bill. Like, try to
no, that's hide how you the fact. Do. You're like, $10.50. Will you take 10.47? And then she's like, no. And you're like, okay, here's 11.
Yeah, I'm not good at that, as we've discussed. But we don't want anybody hearing that episode.
No. No, we don't.
Yeah, so if you're starting now, we should just repeat that if you're starting now, start at episode 4. Don't listen to episodes 1 through 3.
Nah.
They're good. There's some heart there.
Yeah. Save those for later on down the road. When we're on like episode 100, 200, and you've been with us the whole time, then go back and listen to 1, 2, and 3.
Save those for when you're about 14 beers in.
Oh, okay.
Or you really just feel like killing yourself.
Yeah.
Download those and realize that there are people who have it way worse.
All right, man. So we've talked about the guy getting sucker punched and dying. We've talked about the kids being trapped in a cave. Like, who knows what's going to happen? Hopefully they come out, but it leads up to, what do you think about life after death?
Whoa. Too dumb for this. Gets serious.
I mean, it gets deep. It gets deep, but it truly, like, you just never know when your time's coming. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
Life. I carry, every day, I carry with me two things. And they're two coins. One is a coin that says amor fati. And, the loose translation of that is just love your life, like love your fate, right?
Oh.
No matter what happens, it's yours. So even if it sucks, if it's great, like just love what is coming to you. And then the other one is, it's a coin and it has a, like a skull on it and what is that called? Where the sand goes through the hourglass.
Oh, an hourglass. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
An hourglass. And that is called a memento mori. And that is something that I look at every day as a reminder that this will all end.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it is a constant reminder that, at some point in time, everything I know and everybody I love will be taken from me and will no longer be a part of my life and myself as well. Right. Like I won't be around. And at some point, this just all goes away.
Yeah.
As it does for everybody else. And as it has done for, you know, millions and millions and millions of years.
I mean, it's the only for sure thing that happens to a person is that eventually we all die. Right? Like there's just no way around it.
Right. It is the, the universe has a direction of time or a direction. And that is, that's time. You never see it. It is a law of thermodynamics. You never see an egg, you know, get put back together. You never see the ocean wave suck backwards. You don't have that. The world constantly changes and it's constantly becoming something else. And so are we, right? It goes back to the dreams that we had when we were teenagers and now we're middle-aged men. Like those people are dead. We're already dead. Just in a different way. Like that 17-year-old who had a dream of becoming a rock star, he's dead. That's a different, I'm a different person now. And tomorrow I'll be a different person. And you're right. Like that is the only thing that is for sure because everything is in a constant state of change and, our children and the thoughts we put out into the world and the people that we're becoming is our continuation.
This shit's deep, man.
Deep?
It's deep.
Too deep for this.
too deep for this. I like that. So, I mean, what? So, okay. Of course, everybody at some point passes on. Yeah. So, what is it that you think happens? Like, do the lights just go out? And there's nothing, like you just don't exist anymore. Like before you were born, you don't have any recollection of anything. You just, one day you appeared. So is it like that at death? Or do you believe that, you know, your soul goes on to other things? Do you believe in reincarnation? I mean, there's all these different things. Or are you just a ball of energy that, man, when it goes out, when the light switch goes off, it's just off.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways, it doesn't matter. I mean,
sure.
In the biggest way, it doesn't matter because that's the, you know, that point is marching is is coming at us like a fucking freight train.
Oh, and, it's moving fast.
And, you know, we can't change that. My, there's a Buddhist monk. Thich Nhat Hanh, and he has a phrase, which is a cloud never dies, right? So if a child asks him about death or life after death, his statement is a cloud never dies, right? It just becomes something else. For the time it was a cloud, the conditions were such that it was a cloud. And then, you know, it turns into rain and then that rain turns into tea and then somebody drinks that tea and then they piss it out. And then that urine becomes the water for a flower. And then that flower becomes the, you know, the pollen for a bee. And like, it's just a continuation of change. Life is suffering and, Cloud never dies. It just becomes something else.
Huh.
I personally believe the Christian concept of heaven is a bit naive. Not saying that it isn't true, of course, in a weird way. I feel in a weird way this could be that Christian concept of heaven, like our existence here, because you make your own personal hell and you make your own personal heaven. I mean, I had a great fucking day today. If I had to imagine in my head what a traditional Christian concept of heaven would be like, I don't think it would be much different than today, you know, because you can't have, you start walking through, oh, hey, everything's going to be perfect and amazing. Everything's pretty perfect and amazing if you see it that way. And the only reason it can be perfect and amazing is because you have a measuring stick, right, to compare it to, because there are kids trapped in a fucking cave.
Right.
I'm not trapped in a cave. It's pretty fucking amazing right now.
Right.
And so the concept of good and bad is also like a magnet, right? Like if you cut off the bad, it just becomes bad again. Like you can't just have all good.
Right.
You just can't. Like that doesn't even make any sense.
No, no. And if it was all good all the time, you would lose all concept of things that are good, and those good things would be bad. you know what I mean? It just, you have to have that disparity, the contrast between the two to appreciate. So the good times actually seem good after the bad times. You know what I mean? Like, is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, the Buddhists also talk about, you know, the great ocean, right? And we are waves on that ocean. For the brief moment of time, you know, a wave has a birth and then it crests and it peaks and then the wave has a death. But it's all the same thing. It's just the ocean, but just doing different things. While it's the wave, it thinks it's the wave. It's just riding high and doing cool shit. And then it goes back into the ocean to be reborn as a wave again.
Huh.
I mean, Alan Watts, he was given a lot of credit for bringing Zen Buddhism over to the West, and kind of like popularizing it a little bit. But Alan Watts, you know, he takes a very hippy dippy approach to what this is, right? Like what our experience is and what this waking dream is, and that is kind of like a being that is playing peekaboo. But you know, if you had eternal power, eternal wisdom, eternal everything at your fingertips, you would just want to do some interesting things. So you would tell these stories. It's this play. All the world's a stage, you know. So you would wear different masks and you would do different things, and you would do this forever. But you would only experience it one person at a time. I don't know how I feel about that, right? Because there's something very sad, I think, about all of this being completely one, you know, or you being a different interpretation of the same thing, and my daughter being a different interpretation of the same thing. I love the idea of it all being connected into one. But I also love you because you're different than me, you know?
Yeah.
I love my daughter because she has her own beliefs and her own thoughts. I don't want it to just be one sad, lonely God, you know, making shit up.
Yeah.
Because it's bored.
Yeah. Fuck, this is deep shit. It really is, man. You got me thinking over here. I really don't know what I believe, to be honest with you, dude. I'm not, you know, after I had the heart issues, I mean, it definitely changed the way I thought about everything. Cause I thought I was a goner. You know what I mean? Like it was scary as shit. But I was terrified for my family, not for myself. And it made me think of, you know, just there's nothing I could do. I mean, at any time it could be over with. There's, you know, the only things I can concentrate on are spending as much quality time as possible with them and doing the things that I need to do to make their life easier. But there is no escaping it. I mean, eventually it's going to happen. Hopefully it's later rather than sooner, you know, a lot later. I would love to have a really long life, but man, if it happens, it happens. And I just want to know that I've tried everything that I possibly can to take care of the people that I need to take care of and make sure, you know, I just want everybody to be, I think it's only a sad thing for the people that are left behind. I don't think it's a sad thing for the people, you know, I don't know, man. It's a weird situation. So I'll tell you a story, and I've never talked about this ever. I don't even know how I feel about talking about it now, but when my mom passed away, she was hooked up to machines, and she was not there. You could tell that she was not there. And that she, you know, she was struggling. It wasn't a good situation. And she started to have a bad reaction, and like the nurses and shit came running in the room and like unhooked her from everything. And it was just, it just had to be done or whatever.
Were you there? Yes. Saw this?
Yes, we were all there. So my grandma and my grandpa and my sister and my brother and Aaron, we were all in the room. My sister's now husband, we were all in the room. And my grandma's pretty religious, not pretty. She's very religious, and that's cool. I'm a spiritual guy, I would say, but I'm not really religious. You know what I mean? But anyway, so I take my mom's hand. She's been unplugged from everything. We're all crying. My grandma says we should say a prayer. So the whole time my mom's just barely hanging on. Like I could tell that it's, I don't know how to describe it, but she's barely hanging on. She's not plugged in anything. My grandma starts this prayer, and I'm holding my mom's hand. And so we go through the whole thing. My grandma says, amen. We all say amen. And as soon as that happened, like I felt her leave, and it was over. I don't know if it was just weird timing. I don't know. It was unexplainable, man. I mean, it was just as soon as the prayer was over with, it was like she had been released and she left. It was the weirdest thing that has ever happened. I don't know, man.
So that's wild.
It is. It is.
Did everybody recognize that feeling? Or?
I have no idea. I've never talked to anybody about it. I've never mentioned it before. I remember looking up and me and my sister locked eyes right at that moment, but I've never talked to her about it before. I've never mentioned it before, ever. It's just,
yeah,
you know, having this conversation, it's just really strange. I don't know.
Yeah, that's wild. I also feel, of course, it's very, it would be silly of us, right, of anybody to even pretend to know what all of this is.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of like, you know, I'm not in treatment or anything, but, I don't drink anymore. I used to drink, but I don't drink anymore. But I do know that in, one of the, what is it? 12 steps, right? Like that there's a phrase, something about like, it's like, a flea trying to comprehend the Empire State Building. Like that's kind of what this is. And everybody talking about, what happens or what doesn't happen or what our waking experience is in a way a lot like that. I mean, we don't really know, you know, that we don't know what this is. Yeah. There are certain fundamental things that we don't really completely understand.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, just on, you know, look at the Earth's rotation around the sun. Well, that's gravity, of course. What the fuck is gravity? Right. Right? What is that and why should it exist? There are two different explanations for gravity.
Yeah.
Both in every case are proved to be correct, but they cannot both be correct. Oh. So what the fuck is that?
That's just it, man. Nobody fucking knows. Nobody knows anything. No. It's all just theories and I don't know, man.
No, and it's really interesting too, because if you, there are certain things about physics that suggest that, and I don't want to misspeak here, but if it could be that free will is an illusion.
Sure.
Right? Sure. It could be that for all intents and purposes, like I can look back and see somebody's history, right? And then you could do that to me, and if that happens though, that means that in a certain way, like it's already spelled out. And I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I don't know if that's sad or if that's uplifting. You know, are we, it goes back to that bored being hypothesis, right? Mm-hmm. Are we really just, is this a movie? You know?
Yeah.
And do we wake up and then we're like, oh shit, that was fun. I want to do it again. And then you just put on the Trenton Shaft movie.
Oh.
You know, and now you're Trenton Shaft and that's your experience. And then when it's over, you wake up and you go, oh shit, that was fun. I want to do it again. Yeah. Like, this is fundamentally fun. With all this, dude, there's always something in the box. Yeah. Like we're all like exploring this cave with a candle, you know?
Right.
And that is fundamentally fun. It's scary. But it's fundamentally fun.
Totally.
And I think that, you know, I get bummed out. I have this thought constantly because obviously I carry the memento mori with me. I am painfully aware that someday I will cease to exist and everybody I love and everything I know will be taken from me. But that is also very uplifting in a way, because that I will never take anybody for granted.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never say, oh, hey, honey, I have this email to get to. Like, that email's fucking bullshit. You know?
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah, man, I think that's the best way to look at it, is just take advantage of the limited time that we have here, you know? Because, Jesus, dude, I mean, I don't know about you, but it seems like time is just flying by. Like, it used to be, holy shit, I'm never gonna, you know, time's so slow, I'm never gonna get out of here, I'm never gonna do this, and yada yada. And now I'm like, slow the fuck down, time.
Yeah.
It's going too fast. There's not enough hours in the day to get everything done that I want to get done.
Yep. And that will turn into, there aren't enough years left to do what I want to do. You know, that will for sure turn into that. That'll turn into, there aren't enough days left.
Ugh.
You know? And that's a very real psychological phenomenon, which is the passage of time and why it appears to go faster the older we get. One hypothesis suggests that, you know, when you're seven and you're off for the summer, summer lasts forever, you know. But to your point, right now, you know, as we're staring at the back half of our lives, time is ticking the fuck by.
Yeah, dude.
So one explanation for that is that we perceive time as a relative comparison, meaning when you're seven, a summer represents a significant chunk of your life, right? A big percentage.
Mm-hmm.
It represents, you know, like what, 1/28th of your life. But to us, a summer is nothing. We've had a lot of summers. And so when we perceive another summer, it's perceived to be a smaller chunk of time than the way a 7-year old, you know, examines a summer. The second hypothesis about time interpretation involves a concept known as chunking, the way we chunk experiences together. When you're seven, and I'll bring this around to mindfulness, but when you're seven, everything is new, you know? You've done something new for the first time every day of your life.
Right.
Well, now that, you know, we're this old, and when we, you know, 10 years from now or 20 years from now, we will have 1,000 breakfasts under our belt, you know, or 1,000 trips to the store under our belt. And your brain begins to chunk those experiences together as if they were one. So your memory, it all gets collapsed. And you're like, oh, I've been there, done that. And it's just a whitewash of memory. And so that's why, you know, your time, or your, at least the time that you remember, is a compressed version of what truly is. And that is why, you know, a lot of psychologists are suggesting, you know, mindful-based experiences, because you can truly see the moment for what it is. It's unfolding brand new in each moment. And there's something, each moment has its own unique texture and its own unique feel that you can experience and just be open to. And that will slow time down, and it will slow everything down, and it will give you the chance to truly appreciate what you have in that moment.
But that's the thing, man. I feel like I appreciate those things. You know, I feel like I appreciate every moment of every day and the people in my life and everything that's going on. And it does not slow down time. It makes it. I'll use this for an example, okay? I understand what you're saying. I completely get it. It's just, you know, you're right. It's just a bigger proportion of your life when you're younger, you know, so the time seems like it's longer. I look at it like this, okay? When I used to, when I was a FedEx driver, for example, I didn't have a set time. Like, my job wasn't from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. It was, you get there and you go until you're done. So I was fighting against the clock. If I really, really hurried and hustled, I could be done by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it didn't matter. It wasn't an hourly job, you know what I mean? So I was fighting against the clock, and so my day would fly by. I feel like I just got started. Holy shit, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I have so much more work to do. You know what? Does that make sense? feel like growing up, it was, I'm working a 9-to-5 job and I'm looking at the clock every 5 minutes waiting for 5 o'clock to come around because I couldn't wait to get out of there. And now I feel like I'm fighting against the clock. Holy shit. Slow down. And it's
just, well, you know, that's another sign. That's another sign of being happy and in being engaged with your life.
Right.
And in being engaged with reality. There is a psychologist named Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. And
what?
He, his name is Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi.
That's a great name.
And he has studied flow for a very long time. Flow, you know, is, a lot of people talk about it as being in the zone, right? And one of the byproducts of flow is just the passage of time. It just stops. You're engaged in your task completely and you stop paying attention to the clock and you're doing your thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, time slows down. And the one of the other conditions about flow is that the challenge of the task has to exactly match your skills, right? So if you jump into a situation and it's too challenging, and I don't mean slightly too challenging, I mean infinitely too challenging, like, oh my God, I can't fucking do this, I'm out. You bail, right? You fold under that pressure. It's too intense. But if you jump into a situation and it's too easy, you get bored. And so in those two conditions, you don't experience flow. But when the challenge like nearly exactly matches your skills, you can achieve that flow state. And I think that's part of us getting older, right? Like, that it goes back to, you know, the 17-year-old kid with the vision of playing on stage every night. Like, that's kind of naive. Mm-hmm. But now I have a family and I have real responsibilities, and it's both like incredibly challenging but incredibly fun at the same time to engage with that and make it work. And I think that's one reason time flows by faster for us.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, man. It really does. And I think you're right, man. I truly believe that I'm happier than I, you know, everything's good. I have such a, it's a good life, man. You know, and I'm happy. So maybe you're exactly right, dude. It's like when you're having fun, everything always goes so much faster. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But the time flies thing. But back to your original question about, you know, life after death. I mean, I think it's life after life. I don't know what the experience is, and I don't know if I have a guess or an assumption or. And I think in a lot of ways, we might just relive this. It could just be a Groundhog Day thing and over.
Do you get to keep the knowledge of what you did previously?
No, I think it just starts over.
Oh, dude. Do you know how cool would it be if, like, you could remember everything? I mean, maybe that's why some people are like, oh, you're wise beyond your years or whatever. Maybe they do get to keep some of that stuff.
Like, yeah, maybe you're tapped into it. Yeah. And I think some of us are. I think there's something.
I'm not, dude. I'm way too dumb. Way too dumb.
There is something way deeper, way more mysterious than any of us could ever imagine at play here. Right? Like that is one of the fundamental questions of why is there something rather than nothing? Like, what? Why does anything exist at all? Like, there's no reason it should, you know. And physics, you know, will attempt to address that as, well, nothing is unstable, right? And so if you have a vacuum, it's and you try to zero in on what like a zero state is, it's just unstable, and you have a universe that gets born. Well, that's their explanation. And it's like, okay, what the fuck does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know? So like, why is there something rather than nothing? Are there an infinite set of universes? And if that's the case, then you and I are having this exact same conversation somewhere else, except there's, you know, a typo on that UHF poster, and that can be reiterated a million different times in a million different ways. And what is it like being those people? And how do we know we're not, you know, like we are experiencing this moment? Consciousness collapses into a single state. And there's the biocentrism, which is basically solipsism, kind of like an applied version of solipsism. You know, solipsism is nothing exists without the observer, right? Like what is the moon, and does it exist if you're not there to observe it? You know, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound type thing?
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't have consciousness here to experience the universe, would the universe exist? And a lot of people would go, well, yeah, of course it would. It would just be this, you know, like just shit floating around and rocks floating around. But what is a rock? Right? Like a rock isn't anything until we describe it in terms of perception. So it's fucking nothing. Until we say, oh, no, it's this hard thing, and it's round, and it's, you know, it looks like this, and if you shine an X-ray on it, it looks like this. I mean, it's only defined in terms of perception. And if there's no perceiver, then there's nothing.
Then there's nothing. Oh, dude. Too dumb for this.
Yeah, there's nothing better than a couple of Beavis and Buttheads just sitting around talking about the grand scheme.
Yeah. I mean, it is very interesting, dude. We've never talked about this. We've never had this discussion before. It's very interesting to hear your thoughts on it.
I could do more shows like this, because I think about this a lot.
Yeah. No, man, I love having these deep conversations and getting away from dick and fart jokes or whatever, man. I think it's really cool. So what? Okay. If you're not here to hear my dick joke, is there still a dick joke? No?
Well, you're the experiencer.
Okay.
So, yeah, you heard the dick joke. You created the dick joke. There is a dick joke.
Okay. But if I'm not here, there is no dick joke to be created. Is that what you're...
Right.
Got it. Fuck.
Yeah, the universe doesn't just make its own dick joke.
Are you sure? That cactus that you had the other day.
But are we the way the universe creates the dick joke?
Ah. Fuck.
Are we the universe experiencing itself?
So in essence, we are the dick joke.
Fucking yes! We fucking cracked the code, man.
We figured it out.
Jason in Canada is going to be shitting his pants right about now.
Don't get a soaker. Holy shit, man. That was a crazy deep conversation.
Dude, it's fun stuff.
It is. It's very interesting.
I don't know if you've had much exposure to it, but you should check out, I've been reading a lot of Stoicism as well.
Okay.
There's a fantastic book by Ryan Holiday called The Daily Stoic. But you got to go. I mean, if you like The Daily Stoic, I mean, it's just daily, you know, little blurbs about Stoicism and Marcus Aurelius and da 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 da. But go to the source, right? So, like, if you like Daily Stoic, read Seneca, read Marcus Aurelius. I'm in the middle right now of a book called The Inner Citadel, and it is, you know, like a 300-pager about written by a Harvard professor about Marcus Aurelius and his, you know, kind of the foundation of beliefs that went into his book Meditations. And it wasn't a book. I mean, like, it was just his journal in a way. But he was, you know, of course, inspired, you know, like Seneca and Epictetus and like all of these other ancient thinkers. But Stoicism is, it's like a really good operating system for life. It trains you to know that storm is coming and to just don't be surprised when it comes. And to, you know, take each day as it's presented to you and don't challenge nature and just love it for what it is.
Hmm. Yeah. Do they have the audio versions of those?
I'm sure that plenty. I'm sure. Just hit up Audible and you know, Google Stoic.
Yep.
I'm sure, like, Meditations by Marcus Aurelius is like the go-to popular text for Stoicism. Okay. So I'm sure somebody has read that into a microphone, and
at if some not, point.
I will.
Okay.
Yeah. And if not, dude, I'll open up a sixer of beer and just kind of stumble through it one night.
Nice.
Upload it to Amazon.
Oh, man. So what was that name again of that? Whoever you were talking about, the Sinjai, Hijai, Hujai,
Upjai. Mihai Csikszentmihalyi.
Yes. That is a fucking great name. Mihai
Csikszentmihalyi.
Csikszentmihalyi. That is such an awesome name.
Somewhere out there, there's like a psychology undergrad that is just yelling at me right now. That's not the way it's fucking pronounced. God damn it. It's that fucking kid at the cosplay thing you went
to. Exactly. That is not how you say the name.
That's funny. Dude, we should continue this. You know?
Absolutely.
We'll get back into this stuff.
Yeah, I think we should have more deep conversations about stuff. I liked it. It was very interesting. I couldn't participate very much because I'm way too stupid, but it was very interesting to hear it. Man.
Yeah, dude, let's for sure add this to, you know, upcoming shows. I do think, however, we should end with this may or may not become a bit, but I don't know, it's up to you, but we should end the show with This Day in Music.
This Day in Music. What do you think? Let's do it.
Da, 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 da. Oh, yeah.
This Day in Music.
July 8th, on this day. Oh, I'm looking at thisdayinmusic.com, and there's a lot going on here. 1967, the Monkees began a 29-day tour with the Jimi Hendrix Experience as a support act.
Wow.
What a weird combo.
That is a weird combo.
Hendrix was dropped after six shows after being
I wonder why.
After being told his act was not suitable for their teeny bopper audience.
No shit. Can you imagine going there to see the Monkees and fucking Hendrix comes out? Oh,
as a support act.
As a right. How do you follow that? Holy shit.
Here we come.
Right?
Walking down the street.
Oh, after you just heard Hey Joe? Are you kidding me?
Wow. Well, there you go. This day in music.com. There are probably about 15 other stories here.
Let's do another one. That was cool.
All right. Oh, man. Let's see. Dead air. Hold on. We'll get there. Joe Strummer, 1978. Joe Strummer and Paul Simonon from The Clash were arrested for being drunk and disorderly after a gig at the Apollo in Glasgow. Both were fined.
Wow. That's a good one. It's not nearly as cool as the first one, though. That was really good.
Oh, here, I can bring this back to our show. 1999, This Day in Music, July 8th, Take That, former manager Nigel Martin Smith started a new business as an undertaker. It was reported that he was unhappy with the service he had used, so he decided to buy a local funeral firm in Manchester.
Well, son of a B-word. Bringing it all back to depression.
we can't end it there.
No.
Oh, God damn it. Okay, what's next? What is next? 1954, July 8th, This Day in Music. Producer Sam Phillips took an acetate recording of Elvis Presley singing "That's All Right, Mama" to Memphis radio station WHBQ, DJ Dewey Phillips. He played the song just after 9:30 that evening. The phone lines lit up, asking the DJ to play the song again.
That's a good one. That's a good ender right there.
Right?
That's a real good one.
This Day in Music. Well, everybody, thanks for hanging on. I had a blast. This was a good show.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. Good times. Happy birthday, man. I truly love you. I'm sorry I'm a shitty friend. Thank you to everybody that listens. The second Canadian, welcome aboard, eh? Australia, tell your friends. I don't care if they're Kiwis or what, but get some more people on board. Everybody listen. Booyah.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and TuneIn. We're on socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Too Dumb For This, and hit up our website, TooDumbForThis.com.
Boom.